biggest artists, the best music. We are Riviera FM.
Yes, it is now 13:04, which is 4 minutes past one here, Thursday, March the 23rd. My name is Amy, and we want to give a big thanks to Mia Howlett for the last 2 hours here on Riviera FM. And thank you for staying with us, because I have got with you a special guest in the studio, and I'll be introducing her after the first record, which is a bit of a clue about what my guest does. Maybe you already know. You know what, I haven't heard this song before, but I was quite a Level 42 fan once. Heaven in My Hands came from the album Staring at the Sun in 1988. Now, Heaven in My Hands, now that might give you a clue. I'm going to tell you that today my guest in the studio is Lynn Seal. Now put your hands together for my guest, Lynn Seal, who is a palmist. Do you want to go on? You're up, Lynn.
Oh, right. Hi, yeah. Amy.
Do you want to say hello to everybody?
Thank you for having me on your show.
Could you just pull the microphone towards you a little bit? That's better. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, thank you for being here. This is a real pleasure to have you in the studio, because I've known you for some time now, and I have had my hands read by this lady, and she is excellent.
Oh,
and,
thank you.
And she's going to be talking about some of the amazing intricacies to do with palmistry. So this is your chance to send in your questions. If you've got any questions at all that you would like to pose my guest, then email in the studio, and I promise I will look at the email. It's studio@riviera.fm on the inbox, and you can Facebook message me or phone in the studio 01803 50 60 70 and we will ask Lynn some questions. So this is, I've got some background music playing, and the background music, just to let you know, is called Faith Keeper, which I picked because Lynn is doing this amazing, amazing journey with palmistry in this lifetime. So Lynn, do you want to tell me how you got into it?
How I got into it? Yeah. Against my will, really. It was my friend Debbie Kira kept insisting that I go for a hand reading with a reader in Newton Abbott called Belita, and I didn't really want to go. I wasn't that interested.
Aww.
I was a real sceptic, but she insisted on taking me, so I went for this reading, and actually it was brilliant.
Wow.
And so then I got curious, like, how do they do this? And Belita started teaching again and invited us to join her class. So it was about, I think, 1989, 1990, I joined Belita's class and never looked back, because then I got obsessed with it.
Wow, so it really took over your life.
Yeah, it did.
Ah.
Yeah, it changed it completely.
And you were a sceptic before that.
Yes, I was.
So she really showed you something.
That was when I didn't know anything about it. Once I started learning how it's done, and trying it and testing it and finding out that it worked, there is something in this. And then I had to find out more and more.
Wow. And now you're a teacher yourself, aren't you?
I am, yeah.
That's fantastic. So you weren't really interested in it. And what was it like to find out about all these things on your palm? Did it open you up spiritually?
Yeah, it did. Yes, because when you look at all the things I do now, all the mind-body-spirit fairs and all the places I go and the people that I know, it's a completely different world to what I was doing before. So it opened up a lot more than just palmistry.
Okay, and can I just tell people that you've got a place in Torquay that they can come and see you? You work out of the market, don't you?
That's right, Discovery, upstairs in Torquay Market. And a lot of people say, I didn't know there was an upstairs in Torquay Market. But, yeah, it's been there for
there
about
is,
10
yeah.
years.
And this is your little cubbyhole where you have the... It's a portal to the immortal, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes, that's right. I'm usually there Monday, Wednesday and Friday afternoons at Discovery in Torquay Market.
Monday, Wednesday and Friday afternoons.
Although it is best to book first, because I'm not always there.
Okay. Now, I can highly recommend Lynn as a palmist. Not that I've seen very many of them. But I have to say that she was very accurate, very professional. And I left very satisfied with my hand analysis, which is what you call it, isn't it?
Yeah.
A hand analysis. So what does it actually entail?
Well, when somebody comes to see me, I mean, I go really in depth with the hand. So it's an hour or an hour and a half. The first thing I do is take handprints. So for three reasons. One, because it shows up the lines easier than looking at the live hand. Two, you've then got a record of what your hands look like.
So it's not very easy to look at handprints like this.
I can't even see yours across the screen.
So
across the studio.
So you won't be able to read my palm today.
Well, maybe if I can sit next to you.
Yeah, you... Oh, yeah, okay.
I forgot what I was saying.
So you take the... You take the print.
Take the handprints, yes.
So it's easier to see the lines.
Easier to see the lines. You've got a record of what your hands look like, because the lines do change. And also it means you don't have to sit in an awkward position with your hands outstretched for an hour. And then from there, I look at all aspects of the hand. A lot of people think you just look at the lines, but I look at everything. Hand shape, skin texture, the back of the hand, nails, knuckles. Fingerprints are very important. And that's even before we start looking at the lines.
So it's also the fingerprint?
Yeah.
And the hand itself?
Yeah.
The shape of the hand?
Every aspect, so the way your fingers lean and bend. So okay. That's why I call it hand analysis, because it's not just palmistry. You're not just looking at the palm of the hand.
Ah, hand analysis. It's really amazing. And you're looking at fingernails as well, don't you?
Yeah, your fingernails say a lot about health things. I mean, doctors look at your fingernails for health. It's not just a palmistry thing.
Doctors look at your fingernails for health?
Yeah, you can tell all sorts of health stuff.
I don't think my doctor would do that.
I mean, a lot of people just know these things. Like, if your nails are really, really pale, almost white in colour, that's to do with anemia or low iron.
Oh, gosh. And what do the little moons mean?
Well, I've been trying to find out about the moons for years, but actually, I don't know what they mean. They're one of the few things that it's really hard to find out about. In the old palmistry books, they say good moons is good for the circulation, good, strong circulation. But actually, the biggest moons I've ever seen are on people with Raynaud's syndrome who have got almost no circulation going to their fingers.
I've only got moons on my thumbs.
A lot of people do, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's just normal.
Wow. So they get their... You look at the lines on the hand and the fingerprints and the shape of the hand and the fingernails and what else? Anything else?
You never know, really, what's going to stand out at you until you see the person's hand, because you're looking at all aspects. But sometimes when you're looking at somebody's hand, they'll have a really unusual feature that you've never seen before.
Like every a mole hand, on the hand or something?
Moles on the hand, I don't take too much notice of, although they do in Indian palmistry.
All right.
But just like, well, it's geeky stuff, like a really unusual fingerprint pattern. Although every single fingerprint is unique, obviously.
Mm.
That's why the police use them for identification.
But a whole palm print is unique, isn't it?
Yeah, no two hands are the same.
Mm-hmm.
Not even your own two.
Wow. Shall we play a record?
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much. This is very interesting stuff. I'm talking to Lynn Seal, palmist extraordinaire. I'm going to play you George Michael. This track is called Look at Your Hands.
Yeah.
is George Michael. Look at Your Hands, it's called. Look at Your Hands from the 1990s. That's why he's still going. Oh my goodness. That was, what did you think of that record, Lynn?
I wasn't really listening, to be honest. I was talking to the guy from next door.
Yeah, we've had Sam in the studio saying some interesting things, haven't we?
Well, you were saying that you'd heard about the half moons on the nails that you were asking me about as being to do with lack of calcium.
Yeah.
I suppose lack of calcium. Calcium, and you mentioned about white spots on the nails being zinc and calcium, dairy food deficiencies. But they're not. They're all myths.
I know a myth about the little white marks on the fingernails.
Yeah.
Because it takes about 6 months for it to grow all the way down. And apparently they come from a trauma. And you can see how far back the trauma goes if you've had a serious
right.
shock. Now, let me see if I've got any traumas going on at the moment. No, I'm doing pretty well. Now, I was riddled with the little white marks not very long ago.
Yeah, white spots can be to do with stress or
stress,
ill health.
Stress, yeah.
So, yeah, the nails take 4 to 6 months to grow out. So if it's halfway down, it was two
So
or
how
three
many times
ago.
Do we clip our nails in 4 to 6 months?
I've no idea.
No.
I've never counted.
No, I haven't either.
I don't know.
No, I don't. No, are toenails slower growing?
No, I don't. Yes, toenails are slower growing.
Okay.
But on your hands grow faster on your active hand than on your passive hand. They grow faster in summer than in winter.
That's fascinating. Did you hear that, listeners? I'm just looking at my hands now and I'm seeing, because I'm right-handed, that my fingernails on my right hand are actually longer than the fingernails on my left hand, and I've never noticed that in all of my time yet.
Yeah, they do grow faster.
That's amazing. Facts galore. Love it. We've got a question. No, we haven't got a question. Andrew in Newton Abbott says, hi. And he's listening.
Hi,
Andrew. We want to say hello to you. He says that he had a reading from you a few years back and it was really good. So that's good feedback. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you, Andrew.
Yeah. Andrew's a regular listener.
Andrew makes good green men.
Yeah, thanks, Andrew. We're giving you a little plug too. All right, should we get back to the questions?
Okay.
All right, we've got a question here. Has palmistry got the same interest abroad?
Yeah, there's interest in most. I know palmists from all over the world.
Do you think it came from abroad?
The global hand reading network online.
Oh, right.
I mean, it was when I first started learning palmistry, it was quite a lonely business because we didn't have the internet and not that many people are interested in palmistry. So I was a bit of a Billy No Mates, geeky, studying it all on my own. With Kira, of course, we were, you know, but not many people were interested locally. But globally, yeah, there's an amazing interest, especially in India.
Ah, is that where it originates from?
There are different traditions in palmistry, and the Indian Vedic tradition, I mean, that goes back about 3,000 years, whereas Western palmistry, I think the earliest known writings are from about the 1400s.
Okay. So it's probably travelled across slowly. Because when you think, because the gypsy people all come from India anyway. And if you think that they're the ones that probably brought it.
No,
I know I was having bed music. That was a shame. Forgot about the bed music, but we'll play it. I'm playing this track. It's called Faith Keeper, which is what you are. The gypsies were the faith keeper, weren't they?
They probably brought the palmistry over, yeah, but there's no real proof. There's a lot of the stuff that's written about the history of palmistry. Yeah, there isn't really a lot of proof for it. But yeah, it is really huge in India, especially Vedic palmistry, where they combine it with astrology.
Ah, so astrology plays a part in palmistry.
Not in Western, but in Eastern, yeah.
In Eastern palmistry. Okay, so there's two different systems?
There's various different systems, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a few different systems. The one I learnt originally was like traditional Western palmistry, with a little bit of Indian palmistry. And then I went on to learn a completely different system, which is hand analysis based on the elements, which was supposed to be a Chinese Buddhist tradition. Although, again, there's no actual proof that it did come from China. But that's all based on the elements, earth, water, fire and air. There's schools in America that just study the fingerprints, your life purpose from your hands. As I say, there's the Indian system. There's lots of different systems in the world.
Wow. This is all news to me. This is very interesting. I'm fascinated with this.
Oh, thank you.
The history of this kind of subject, because it's a beautiful thing, isn't it, to be able to look at somebody's palm and to be able to tell them all different parts about their characteristics. And
it's amazing. Whoever thought that the hand could tell you so much about people.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what you can tell from looking at a palm, because all I know is what I experienced, but I can imagine that you can. Can you tell people how many babies they're going to have? Is that something that...
Well, that's another palmistry myth, really.
Oh, is it?
The things that people think you can see are usually the ones that you can't. There are things on your hand called the old-fashioned marriage lines or relationship lines or attachment lines, which is supposed to show you how many marriages in your lifetime. Well, that's a bit outdated anyway these days, but they don't work for predictive purposes. Mm. And how many children you're going to have. It goes back to 15th century, I think, palmistry. Maybe it worked then, I don't know. A lot of palmists still use these lines.
Do you think, thinking in historical terms, I just thought, back then in the 15th century, do you think people had less complicated palms?
I have no idea.
I have no idea as well. But I just thought, because we've got such complicated lives these days, maybe...
Yeah, that was, depending on where they lived, were their lives easier or more difficult? I've no idea.
Yeah. Good point.
I've never seen a handprint from the 15th century, so I don't know. I mean, there are still a lot of palmists that use these lines, and I think palmists that use a lot of intuition and are psychic... They can look at the hand. I might see six lines, but they'll go, oh, there's two lines there. And they'll be right. That person's got two children. But I don't know what it is that makes them pick the right two lines, because you can see child lines on women over childbearing age who've never had any children.
Oh.
The marriage lines, the two stories I tell about that is my friend who's been married three times, she only ever had one marriage line, and an 86-year-old lady had four marriage lines, and she married the boy next door, and they're still together.
Oh,
like he's 91 or something. So,
no.
To be honest, she hasn't really got time for three more marriages. So, you can't use these lines as prediction, and yet those are the two things that a lot of people want to know, and think you can tell them how many relationships and how many children. And I can't tell you from your hand.
Okay, so the myth is still standing
in
communities. People do believe that you can read these things.
Yes.
But you can see all sorts of things, can't you? And I'm really excited. Now, listeners, dear listeners, I'm going to get Lynn to sit next to me in the second hour, and we're going to look at my hand and see if she can see anything without having a handprint, because normally you take a print, don't you?
Yeah, I usually take an ink print.
So you ink the hand up.
The lines up easier.
Yeah, I can imagine.
So it just depends whether in this light, with my eyesight and my not very good magnifying glass that I've brought with me, whether I can actually see any details.
We're going to have a look at my print in the second hour. And we are now 1:30 here in the United Kingdom. It is March the 23rd. We're doing well with Lynn Seal in the studio talking about palmistry. And I just wonder, Lynn, would you like to do the weather?
Not really.
I'll tell you what it involves. If you don't want to do it, I'll do it.
You do it.
I have
no interest in the weather.
We play the weather music. That's all right. And you just sit there and look out the window and tell people what you see. Do you want to do that?
Let's do the weather.
Across the bay.
Riviera FM weather.
Okay, All right, this is the weather. This is Riviera FM, and I've got weather lady Lynn Seal sitting with me in the hot seat. Okay, Lynn, can you tell people what the weather's like?
Well, looking out of the window, I think it's stopped raining. It's looking a bit gloomy.
That's good.
Dull, and but I think it has stopped raining.
So it's stopped raining in Torbay. Looking a bit gloomy, a bit dull.
Oh no, it is still raining. Sorry.
Now it is raining. This is the weather from Lynn Seal.
Yeah, I'm good.
Everybody. No, do you tell everybody? Tell everybody.
Yeah.
Can I just tell you, I've got the same birthday as Bon Jovi.
Have you really?
Yeah.
Well, that's fascinating.
Can you see the similarities? Now, going back to palmistry as a subject, for those people out there that this is new for, and they might be a bit apprehensive because they might think that you can see their future.
Yeah, because that's the traditional image of palmistry, isn't it? The sort of scarves, crystal balls, looking into the future.
I know, I wondered what you're going to turn up looking like.
And some people say, oh, I wouldn't want to know. But the future or the prediction is like the hardest bit in palmistry because the lines on your hand can change. So when I'm looking at your hands, it's like a snapshot in time. This is you as you are now. Obviously, there's stuff from the past because your past is how you arrived at this point of now.
Yeah.
And you're already going in a certain direction for the future.
Mm.
So with prediction, you might be able to see possibilities, potentials, but you can't say this will definitely happen in 10 years' time because it depends what you do between now and then.
So you can't see tragedies. Like, some people are afraid because they think...
And there are some palmists that will predict doom and gloom and terrible things happening. But if you look at modern palmistry these days, like you were talking about palmists from all over the world, there's a discussion group online that where lots of palmists can answer questions for people, and you'll find that modern palmists are steering right away from the predictive side of palmistry.
Okay.
Because palmistry these days is more about empowering you rather than
That's
fatalistic approach, which is very often doom and gloom, and then you've got no control over it and only bad things are going to happen, and that's not a good way to go about things.
No, definitely not.
Because it's not true as well. You know, I've read for people who've been predicted terrible things and maybe lived a few years in fear, and then that age has passed and it hasn't happened, and, you know, they've come to me for, like, well, does that mean it's going to happen next year? Well, no, because I can't even see, maybe the markings faded away or whatever.
I found your reading for me very empowering those years ago. That's good. True, what you said. So good. it's more like it's a therapy to have an insight into yourself. Yeah. And which is good, because the more we get to know ourselves, then the better person we can be.
That's right. Your hand does say, and I've spoken a lot so far about what you can't see from the hand, but what it can tell you is a lot about yourself as a person. I mean, all the different lines say different things. Maybe we'll be doing the lines in a minute.
Maybe. I think so.
And it can talk about your strengths, weaknesses, what you need in relationships. Rather than predicting the number of relationships, it can tell you more about, you know, what your needs are and what you're able to give.
Fascinating. Fascinating stuff. Absolutely beautiful. I'm going to play a record for the listeners. This is Reef. Place Your Hands.
Oh, and I went out to feel.
With Put Your Hands Up, which is a great record. I haven't heard that one for so long. That was a really good tune, and Lynn said that she remembered when they came to Torquay.
Yeah, I love that song.
Did you go and see them?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I like that song too. Yeah. Great, very apt. Put Your Hands Up, Run Your Fingers Through My Soul, which is kind of what you do, isn't it?
Oh, sounds nice.
Run your magnifying glass over my soul. Okay, where were we going? Oh, yeah. I've got this question here, which is a very good one. Now, many people think that the palm lines are just folds or creases.
That's right, yeah. They think that the lines are only there so that you can bend your hand or fold your hands.
But I didn't really... Well, I suppose I do,
lots
yeah.
of different reasons why...
I've got a line there. I definitely don't fold my hand that way.
I mean, if you look at the lines on your hand and compare that to the crease on your wrist,
yeah,
or on your elbow,
yeah,
they're very different, aren't they? Elbow is a crease line where your elbow bends,
kind of, yeah.
It's not got any markings on, it's not a definite line.
Mm.
And if you stretch it out, it almost disappears, whereas if you stretch your palm out, the lines get stronger.
That's true.
So they're not the same as other creases on the body.
No, and I've got a line here running from my little finger going around like this.
Where your hand doesn't bend.
My hand does not bend there.
No, it doesn't. That's your curve of intuition. That's your psychic side.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, why is it stronger on my right-hand side then? On my left-hand side, it's all wobbly
we'll
and broken.
We'll talk about that in a minute when we do your hands. Let's stick to why the creases are not just folds. The main reason is because the creases are formed on your hands when you're a fetus, before 3 months, about 12 weeks, you've already got the lines on your hand.
What, when you're 12 weeks inside?
Yeah.
Oh.
Or even before that, the lifeline starts developing around 7 to 8 weeks of gestation.
Oh,
wow. When you're really, really little. But the muscles that you need for movement aren't formed yet. Even the first reflex movements haven't happened. So the lines are there before your hands can
move. Before your reflexes.
Yeah.
Now that tells me that it's something to do with the spirit.
I mean, the scientific view is that the lines are there to anchor the skin of the palm of the hand to the palmar fascia underneath. It's for grip, so that we can hang on to things, to stop the skin moving around. So that's the scientific explanation. But you could provide a more spiritual...
Well, I personally, I believe that the spirit enters at conception. And by you saying that before the muscles have even been formed, then I would say that perhaps it's spirit finding its boundaries and expressing. It's like an expression, isn't it?
You can think of the fingerprints. Some people think of those as a soul expression.
I think it is. I think they're fascinating.
Yeah,
really,
so there's lots of reasons why they're not just folds. Another thing,
go on.
If it was caused by using your hand, bending it, folding it, then you would expect people that do manual work to have more lines than people that sit at a desk. all day. But they don't. In fact, they usually have less. People that do physical manual work usually have less lines on the hand.
Right.
Than people that don't use fold their hands so much. So, no, they're not folds.
They're not. No, I never thought they were, but that's a good question. I think it is. Okay. Andrew says he's going to have a cup of tea. That's nice. And unfortunately, there's no kettle yet, which I think is being organised, because I can see teacups out the corner of my eye to offer you a cup of tea, Lynn. But I don't think the kettle's arrived. We've not long moved into the studio, and it's doing well, I think. This is Riviera FM, and my special guest is Lynn Seal. She is a palmist, and she's talking to me all about her specialist subject, which is palmistry. And if you've got any questions, get in touch, studio@riviera.fm on the email, or 01803 50 60 70 on the phone line, or message me on Facebook, and we can get your question to Lynn, and she will answer it as best as she can. We're going to play another record now. I found this one by Slade, All Join Hands. There, that's Slade with All Join Hands. It's nearly 5 minutes to 2 o'clock here, Thursday, March the 23rd. We're sitting in the Riviera FM studios, sweltering, and I put the fan on, haven't I? Thank goodness.
It's warm.
Thanks to my guest Lynn, who's still with me, and I want you to stay with us after the news. We've got 5 minutes. We're going to just chat a little bit about handprints changing and fate and destiny. And can I just ask you, Lynn, do you know what the difference between fate and destiny is?
In a word, no.
Oh, never mind. I wondered.
I mean, as I understand it, it's just...
The same thing.
The same thing. It's what's laid out in front of you. But that's a matter of belief, isn't it?
Yeah.
Not everybody believes in fate and destiny.
No.
Some people believe everything is fate and destiny.
That's true.
I'm a great believer that we have free will and we can make choices.
Yeah.
That affect our future.
Me too.
But the people that believe it's all predetermined say, well, you were fated to make that choice. It was predetermined that you would make that choice. It's an illusion. But I like to think I've got free will.
I think everything's
Maybe
got
I'm just
willpower.
A control freak.
No, I think everything's got willpower, you know, from a little daffodil seed. That's got willpower, hasn't it?
I don't know about daffodil seeds. I mean, obviously, fate and destiny throws some of the big things at us in life that we can't control and we didn't expect.
Yeah.
But there's lots of things in our hands and the lines on our hands that we can control and we can create changes, especially health-wise as well.
And you can notice all these changes in the hand over the years, because if somebody comes back to you, then
that's
they can
right,
have a different palm reading.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's amazing.
I mean, an example of that was a guy that came for a reading and all his skin ridges were just breaking up into little dots and he really wasn't well physically. And I said things on his hand that I thought he'd got some kind of food allergies, sensitivities. Mm. And then he told me he just found out that day that he's wheat intolerant.
Oh.
And his entire diet was... like pasta and pizza.
Oh no.
So it's no wonder he was really ill. And he took wheat out of his diet, came back 6 months later.
Yeah.
A different person, you know, he was so slim
really?
And healthy looking.
Fantastic.
And when we took his handprints, all the skin ridges had joined up again. So all the toxins had gone and his skin was looking healthy again.
Oh. Now, I've got something that I'm going to ask you a question, which is hopefully going to give the listeners something to do during the news to distract them, okay? Sam, who's the breakfast guy, came through and he said that, is there any technique or is there anything that people can do for themselves to read their own palms? And I think that's quite a good question. So what can people do at home to start looking at the palms and be able to read it?
Well, yes, you can read your own hands. And it's useful just to observe it, really. Like, you know the expression, I know it like the back of my hand? Well, put your hands behind your back and see if you can describe it to yourself. Do you know whether you've got long or short fingers or knotted knuckles or smooth knuckles?
No, that's really
or
hard.
Or what markings you've got on your nails or what shape your nails are.
Oh, that is so hard. Oh, my goodness.
So we use the phrase, I know it like the back of my hand, but most people don't know the back of their hands very well.
Wow, that is such an interesting exercise. Try that at home, listeners. Put your hands behind your back and see if you can tell anything about your hands, because I've just done it.
Yeah,
and it's like I don't know my hands at all.
At them before you put them behind your back, people.
Yeah, well, it's amazing how much we take them for granted, isn't it? They just do things. It's like feet.
Yes.
Can you read feet?
No, but there are people that do.
Oh, yes, in India, probably.
I think there's a tradition in Japan for foot reading.
Really?
I think.
Oh, fascinating.
China or Japan.
Okay, right, I'm going to play the news, leave you listeners to sit at home looking at your hands and seeing if you can find anything out, and then in the second hour we're going to have a bit of a practical, okay?
Yeah, so, if anybody's got any questions, send them in.
Oh yeah, definitely send your questions in. Thank you very much. studio@riviera.fm on the email, message me in on the Facebook, on Riviera FM Facebook page, or 01803 50 60 70 if you want to phone in to the studio, and I promise I'll answer the phone. All right. Okay, we're going to play the news. Don't take it too seriously. And then we're going to come back after the break.
Made in Torbay for Torbay. Torbay's only truly local radio station. Your voice in the community. This is Riviera FM News.
Can't keep my hands to myself.
Selena Gomez there with Keep My Hands to Myself, I think that's what it's called, from the March 2016 album that's just gone off my screen so I can't see what it was. Oh, anyway, this is After the News. It's 6 minutes past two, Riviera FM. My guest in the studio, Lynn Seal, is sitting next to me now and the microphone is up so you can speak.
So I'm trying to have a look at Amy's hands.
Yeah.
And I've just been checking her fingerprints. Just going back to a question you asked me about your hands, that curve of intuition that you've got on your right hand that's not so developed on your left hand, that goes back to the question, what's the difference between your two hands? You're right-handed, yeah?
Yep.
So that is known as your dominant or active hand.
Okay.
And in traditional palmistry, they say the left is what the gods gave you, and the right is what you do with it.
Oh, really?
But, well, it's a bit more complicated than that, because the gods gave you both. You weren't just born with that one.
No.
But what they're saying, really, is that the left hand is where all your inborn talent, potential, your natural ways of reacting, your natural instincts, the inner you, the private you, that's where all that lies. Whereas the right hand is more about what you've consciously, actively developed out in the world.
Oh my goodness,
more
that's
fascinating. More like the public face, you at work, the different aspects to our personalities. So only the chosen few will know the person that's like in your left hand. And most people will know the person that's in your right hand, if you're right-handed, which you are. So your question, why is that curve of intuition stronger on your right hand?
Mm.
Because it's something you have, it's a natural ability you've got in your left, but it's grown, it's longer on your right, so it's something you've developed.
It's not only a natural ability, I've got a keratosis, apparently, according to Lynn.
Well, that's the posh name for a bit of hard skin, really.
Yeah, a bit of hard skin, there you go. because the curve on my right, on my left hand, is all broken and crossed, and it's not really a curve, it's just like a whimsical...
Well, it's actually a form of mercury line going up towards your little finger.
Mercury line, yeah.
Which is very good for communication. So that's good when you're on the radio, isn't it?
Yeah, very handy. But on my right hand...
Handy.
Very handy, oh You've my goodness.
You've also got a loop of humour, which is why you keep getting the giggles.
Do you think that's the... What else do you do? Get the giggles.
Mm.
Yeah, it's true.
Another question I didn't really answer before when you said about talking about if the lines aren't just creases caused by folding, what are they?
Mm.
And I said the scientific bit about them anchoring the skin to the palmar fascia underneath. Nobody really knows why the lines are there, but I like to think of them as rivers of energy flowing across your hand. You've got, there's more neural connections between the hand and the brain than any other part of the body. So if your hands were proportioned according to the number of nerve endings, they'd be massive. They'd be like bigger than beach umbrellas. So you've got all that neural information packed into a small space. I mean, you're constantly sending messages to your brain from your hand and back again. All the time. We use our hands for everything.
Really?
So I think of it like a coded computer printout of the messages from your brain.
The handprint.
I think William Benham said that the hand is an outward reflection of the brain. But thinking of thinking of the lines as rivers of energy, that also coincides with like the Eastern view of the lines being our vital force, our chi, our ki, our prana energy. So it's your life energy in your hands.
Wow. That's really cool. A computer printout of your brain. I think that's amazing. What happens if somebody has an accident and they've got a scar on their hand? Does that affect the reading at all? Does it affect their destiny, do you think?
No. It doesn't affect the destiny in the sense of, you know, it's not like creating a marking on the line because it's a scar. But it's useful to sometimes think back to when the person had that injury and what was happening at that time in your life.
Yeah.
And, you know, why that finger at that time,
for example. Yeah, my grandfather lost half his thumb in a sawing accident, unfortunately on a bandsaw.
That's awful. But I remember reading about a family where the father and son, both at separate places of work, both lost their thumbs the same day. And this area under the thumb is known as the family ring, which is where family stuff can show on your hand. And I often wonder, was it just coincidence, or was there something going on with that family that made two of the members chop their thumbs off in separate incidents the same day?
Oh my goodness.
So there might be nothing in it, accidents, injuries, scars on the hand, but it could perhaps have some relevance.
So the family ring is under the thumb?
Yeah.
Can you describe where it is?
At the base, where your thumb joins your hand.
Near the wrist.
It's a good thing for radio, this hand reading business, isn't it?
We have to look at our hands to do this. Yeah. I know. I'm trying.
I mean, if you want to look at the lines on your hand and see which line is which.
Okay.
The three main lines are the lifeline, the headline, and the heartline. And the lifeline starts just above the thumb, sort of the space between the thumb and the base of the index finger. That's your lifeline. And in many people, it curves, it goes down the hand and curves all the way around the thumb, under the ball of the thumb, it's known as the Mount of Venus.
Mm.
That's not with everybody. With some people, it does actually go out to the centre of the palm or even cross over to the little finger side.
Okay.
So that's your lifeline. The one that starts in around about the same place as your lifeline is your headline, which moves across from, like, underneath the index finger across
the centre
to the little finger across the centre of your palm.
Okay.
So the lifeline is about your life energy, your lifestyle, and it is like our path through life. The start of those lines is childhood.
So the start is near the thumb and the index
yeah,
finger.
Yeah, the bit that's under your index finger is the start of the head and lifelines. That's childhood.
I've got quite a bit of keratosis on this hand.
Have you?
Yeah. That's my new word.
You can just get phases where you get more of that, those okay. little patches of hard skin. So your lifeline, yes, your life energy, your path through life. Your headline is about your way of thinking, whether you've got a scientific mind, whether it's imaginative, how sort of logical you are. So that can help, looking at your headline can help in like knowing what studies you'd be good at, what, you know, what subjects to specialise in, also what jobs would suit you better. And the line at the top that starts underneath the little finger and moves across your hand towards the index finger is the heart line, and that's to do with emotions, what you need in relationships. With many people, that line has got the most markings on because of all the emotional ups and downs that people go through.
And the heart is far more complicated than the head.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, that's fascinating. I like the way that you say you can tell whether somebody is a scientist or an artist. Or
I mean, there's lots of different things that can tell you that. Because you look at all aspects of the hand, as I say. Hand shape, skin texture, headline and fingerprints are very good for vocational analysis, what sort of jobs people would be good at.
What do you think of people who have got very veiny hands? Is that something that you look at?
No, not really. I've not... Although I have noticed it, but I don't really know what it means.
Doesn't
There's
mean
all
anything.
Sorts of scientific studies being done on hands, but I haven't read one about veiny hands.
I love this interview. This is great stuff. So I hope you're enjoying this. Give us some feedback if you've not tuned into Riviera FM before. My name is Amy, and I'm with you on Thursdays, 1 till 3, interviewing interesting people from the community. And I am also, well, I do a few things, but enough about me. Let's play a record. Uria Heep, Circle of Hands. Live, 1973.
Circle of Hands. Searching my land for an enemy, came across love's sweet cost, and in the face of beauty, it
Beau Bruce there, The Hands I Hold from 2013. I have got such an interesting guest in the studio today. I called her Miss Lynn Seal the other day and she said, I haven't been a miss since the 1970s. 1978. Before, we played Uriah Heep, Circle of Hands, which Lynn said
was the first album I ever bought.
Fantastic!
Not that album, but Uriah Heep, yeah.
Wow.
I've completely forgotten they existed.
Yeah. Oh my goodness, we are talking about palmistry and handprints and hand analysis and all things to do with this subject, which is a fascinating area if you're interested in science and the occult. Basically, these things can be worked out. If you go and see this lady, she can give you an excellent hand reading. I know because I've had one, and she's just been looking at my hand now, and we were talking about the broken or short lifeline, meaning an early death.
Yeah, there's a lot of misconceptions about that. They used to say a short lifeline means a short life. But they've done scientific research on it, and it doesn't correlate at all. You know, they've found people with short lifelines that live to 93 and people with full-length lifelines that live to 19. Mm. So this research was done by medical students. So length of lifeline does not relate to length of life.
Let's just go
and
over...
I'm glad about that, because I wouldn't want to know that when I'm reading for people.
Yeah, that's a scary thing.
Think how much work I'd get from life insurance companies. If it worked, they would be employing me to find out how much of a risk you were.
That's true.
But it doesn't. No, it doesn't work. So a short lifeline. Your lifeline's about, for one thing, the amount of energy you've got, the amount of stamina.
Let's just tell the listener, the lifeline is the line that runs from the bottom of the index finger down around the curve of the palm, the curve of the thumb, down, so it's the
down
one...
Down towards the wrist.
Down towards the wrist, yeah.
So it's, yeah, starting somewhere just above your thumb and curving all around the fleshy mount at the base of your thumb known as the Mount of Venus.
And what were you saying about it? Sorry,
a short lifeline can be... like. Needing to use your energy in fits and starts and having a rest in between. It's not got the stamina of a long lifeline. Although, strangely, people with short lifelines do often live their life at top speed. Mm. It's almost like, you know, yeah. Psychologically, they think, oh, I've only got a short lifeline, I've got to do this, I've got to do that, I've got to fit it all in. But then there's the danger of, like, burning yourself out, really. Doing too much and not giving your lines a chance to get their energy back. Other thing, apart from a short lifeline,
yeah,
I mean, at first glance, if you look at your right, Amy, I'm looking at Amy's right hand here, that lifeline doesn't go all the way down. It fizzles out sort of two-thirds of the way down your palm. And some people who don't know about palmistry would look at that and say, ooh, you've got a short lifeline. Mm. But it's what's called a reduplication. You've got a big change here because there's a break and then it kind of jumps out into the middle of your hand and restarts. So when there's a break in the lifeline, it's some kind of big change in your life or your lifestyle.
Right. And you can tell how far along it is in your life by measuring.
Well, I mean...
Is it very easy to do?
The dating things is more intuition than analysis, really.
Right.
It would be so easy to date if we knew that, you know, a full-length line meant 100 years, halfway is 50, but it doesn't work like that because we don't know how the length of life that your line represents. Mm. So the start of the lines you can date quite reasonably well, like the first 20 years, and then after that, It's more difficult to date, so like I say, more intuition than analysis with the dating.
That was a good question because some people are worried about this sort of thing.
Yeah, really, don't be scared if you think you've got a short lifeline. If there's anything at all on your hands that you're worried about, or you know, somebody at school that had read a palmistry book predicted this or that or the other for you, if there's anything you're concerned about, feel free to come and see me in Torquay Market and I'll have a look at your hands.
On Mondays?
You know, you don't have to book in, you don't have to pay for a reading. If there's a feature you're worried about, email me or come and see me because I don't want people to be worried about things on their hands.
Tell people when you're in the market.
Sorry, Mondays, Wednesdays and Fridays.
You're upstairs.
And you can also get hold of me through my website, which is handanalysis.co.uk, or do a search for Lynn Palmistry Torquay and you'll find me, and all my contact details are on there. So yeah, I never want people to be worried about the hands because usually it doesn't mean what that friend at school told you it meant or whatever.
Yeah, definitely. I like the way you've got your magnifying glass to look at my hands. Now, what were the little letters that you were writing down? Loop and well?
Right. I was just looking at Amy's fingerprints. And... I don't know where I've written down... Right. As you all know, every single fingerprint is unique, and that's why the police use them as identification. So no two fingerprints are the same, but they do fall into certain categories, which is used by hand readers and also the police, you know, forensics. Loops, whorls and arches are the main three fingerprints that you find. In this country, well, in the world generally, there's more loop fingerprints than any other kind of print. So most people have got some loops, and it's hard to describe them. It's like a wave flowing up on the shore. It comes in from one side of the finger, flows round, and comes out the other side. And looking at Amy's hand, you've got all loops apart from the one that's different, which is on your right ring finger. And that's a whorl. That looks like a spiral or a bullseye, concentric circles.
Wow.
So I always like to look at the ones that are different from the loops, because loops are where we fit in with other people. Loops are great for teamwork, groups, just being around people, being interested in lots of different things. But most people have got some loops. So
it's handy.
I look at...
I like saying that.
I look at what's different in your hand is the whorl. Now, that they say whorls add a talent to the finger that they're on, and originality and intensity, and yours is on your artistic, creative finger.
Wow.
So it doesn't surprise me at all, because I know how fantastically artistic you are. So,
oh, thank you.
It shows, yeah, you really have got a talent there.
Excellent. That makes me feel really special. I've got a whorl on my ring finger. Do you think it means anything that it's on the wedding ring finger?
No. It's like two different things going on there.
Okay.
In palmistry, that is the artistic, creative finger.
Ah.
It's the sporty finger. It's the extrovert finger.
The sporty finger. Oh, that totally, totally talks about me. Even though you can't tell by looking at me, but yeah, I was really, really into my mountain biking years ago.
Really?
Yeah, I've always had a bit of a sporty edge.
I forget about the sporty bit because I'm not at all sporty, so I often forget to say it. I mean, there's been a lot of scientific research done on the relative lengths of the index finger and the ring finger. Longer ring fingers are more usually found in men. Oh. Whereas women tend to have the index and ring finger the same length, or the index a bit longer. But there's lots of research online about that. But the thing you said about the wedding ring...
I just wondered if it was...
Traditionally, well, your whorl is on your right hand, and traditionally...
Is it the left
wedding
hand?
Wedding ring is third
finger.
It just
shows how much
hand.
I know about weddings, doesn't it?
And the reason we put wedding rings there is because, going back, I don't know where this originated.
Go on.
They thought there was a vein that went directly from that finger to your heart.
Oh.
Which they called the vena amoris, the vein of
vena
love.
Vena amoris. Oh. That's beautiful.
So that's why we put wedding rings on that finger. Nothing to do with our...
Has anyone proved that there is a vein in that finger?
Well, there's veins in that finger, but I don't know that they go direct to your heart. I don't know.
Interesting.
I'm better at the external features of the hand rather than the inside ones.
I'm fascinated. I'm absolutely fascinated. I'm going to play another record, and we're going to talk to Lynn some more. Do what you do, what you say, what you feel. Do what you do, let your hands do the healing. Here we go. Do what you do, what you say, what you feel. Do what you do, let your hands do the healing.
Sometimes life can be a burden, trying to stay one step ahead. I feel the world upon my shoulder each time I'm standing out on the edge. My hopes of all this.
Simon Webb, Lay Your Hands, from 2005. I quite like that record. What do you think?
Good, I see what you're doing here with all these hands. titles in songs.
It's good, isn't it?
I knew there were so many. You were dancing.
I know. I've got more as well. I've got more records, but we're not going to play that many because it is nearly 2:45. And after me, Adrian is coming into the studio. I don't know if he's here already. He might be. I'm talking to Lynn Seal, and you can get in touch with Lynn at
handanalysis.co.uk.
Excellent.
It's my website. And or come and see us in Torquay Market.
On Mondays, Wednesdays or Fridays?
Monday, Wednesday and Friday afternoons is when I'm there for bookings. But the first Tuesday of every month, we have the drop-in day in Torquay Market.
Oh, yes.
Which is everybody that works at Discovery, where I work, and everybody that works at Lavender House Holistics. So lots of different readers and therapists there that you can come and have a chat to or taster sessions.
And the first Tuesday of the month.
The next one, first Tuesday of the month, I think it's the 4th of April, I'll be doing a talk on palmistry as well, and it's free.
Oh, so can you say that again? The first, the fourth?
The drop-in days are the first Tuesday of the month, yep. Upstairs in Torquay Market.
And you're giving
from about 10:30 till 3:30, I think.
Okay.
This next one is the 4th of April, from memory, and I'll be there doing a talk at midday. And it's all about the back of your hand. So if you were looking at the back of your hand when we had the break, you'll find out all the answers if you come to the talk.
Sounds excellent. Yeah, thank you for that. That's great. And I was going to say, books. Have you got any books that you can recommend people?
There's zillions of books written on palm reading. And if you want to learn palmistry, I would just say find a book that interests you and go for it, because so many of the books have very similar things in them. If I had to pick just one, it would be a modern book by Johnny Fincham, who's a palmist in Norfolk, called The Spellbinding Power of Palmistry. And Johnny's a great teacher. He learnt five element hand analysis with me, so maybe I'm biased because we learnt at the same school. But I just love the way that Johnny puts it across. There's lots of, you were talking about a book by Cairo, Amy, that you've read.
Yeah, I had one of those from years ago. A friend had a copy and I bought one when I saw it. It was great.
Probably the best known palmist ever in the history of hand reading. Cairo was an Irish guy. His real name was William John Warner, but he made out he was Count Louis Harmon or something. And he went to America. He read The Hands of the Rich and Famous. And his books are brilliant because there's loads of famous palm prints in there.
Mm.
And also he wrote a book about his life, which is possibly exaggerated, about how he learnt palmistry. He ran away when he was 14 or something and learnt palmistry. Went to India and learnt from a book that was written on human skin. There's no proof for that. But, you know, he was a showman, Cairo, and it paid off. You know, he was from the early 1900s, this was. He's probably the best-known palmist ever.
Yeah, I loved his book. It was great. There was all these different aspects about fingers and thumbs and what you should and shouldn't do and people that you should avoid.
And there's all sorts of stories in there about the predictions that he'd made.
Yeah.
But he was also very psychic, as well as being an analytical hand reader. So he had a lot of psychic predictions.
Mm. And that's quite part of it, isn't it? Because it comes under the psychic genre, wouldn't you say?
It does, although anybody can learn palmistry or tarot, which we haven't... I do tarot as well, but we haven't...
Yeah, we haven't even... That's a whole different program, isn't it?
Anybody can learn hand reading, but the way I do it and the way I learnt and the schools that I like is the more technical, scientific, analytic way of doing it. But some people can read hands just by being psychic and just holding your hand and sort of feeling the vibes that way,
yeah,
without the technical knowledge.
Yeah.
And even I, who claim not to be psychic, sometimes when I'm reading somebody's hand, if I touch a certain part of their hand, I will get like emotions that I've never experienced myself, or physical. I used to get people's illnesses a lot, actually, which you don't want.
That's not good. No,
I had a lady's heart attack once.
What?
I just was touching and marking on a lady's heartline, and I got this terrible crushing pain in my chest. Nearly fell off the chair. Poor client, the lady that I'm reading for, had to come and look after me. And we realised it was when I was talking about a time in her life when she'd had a heart attack.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
But yeah, you don't have to be psychic to read hands. Anybody can learn it. And it's especially good for scientifically minded people who are sceptical of the psychic.
Mm. Yeah, because it's a science, isn't it?
Parts of it are, but a lot of it's been studied scientifically.
Ah. Do you think monkeys have got... because monkeys have got lines in their palms.
Yeah, they have. I used to... in my like geeky days when I was studying it 24/7, I used to go and stand at Paignton Zoo and look at the monkeys and chimpanzees and the gorilla and actually look at their hands.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, their hands are very different, but I have seen handprints taken.
Really?
Of monkeys and...
Oh, my goodness.
Gorillas.
Wow.
Massive fingerprint, massive whirls on their hands, yeah.
Oh, lovely. So they're really creative. So a whirl is like an accentuation of the finger that it's on, and all the fingers are named after different planets, is that right?
In traditional palmistry, yeah.
So which planet,
The thumb is Venus.
Okay.
Index finger's Jupiter.
Yeah.
The middle finger's Saturn.
Yeah.
Ring finger's Apollo.
Apollo, which is a comet.
And the little finger is Mercury.
Okay. So this is on my Apollo finger, which is... Apollo's all about communication, right? Is that right?
Mercury's the one about
communication. Oh, Mercury's about communication. What's Apollo? Like
in the Greek myths, that was Hermes, the messenger of the gods. Yeah. Apollo was the Greek god who played the...
Artemis.
Harp.
Is he the same as Artemis? Because I've seen the statue in Greece.
I don't know, but it's all about art and beauty.
Okay. Art and beauty, and that's where my whirl is.
So, and that's the finger that's... Yeah, Apollo is the arty, creative, sporty finger.
Amazing.
And the finger of risk-taking as well.
It's the finger of risk-taking.
If it's a long finger, you have to look at the length of them as well.
It's then, shorter than my index finger.
Right. If it was longer, then you would be more likely to take risks. Anything that gives you an adrenaline buzz.
Yeah, I was a bit like that one stage of my life.
So, yeah, if you've got a whirl as a tendency, if you've got fingers long as well, then, yeah, you probably
amazing.
Do it more.
Everybody's fingerprints are unique. Let's play another record. It's nearly 5-2. We're going to play T'Pau, China in Your Hands. I love this one. China in Your Hands, one of the greatest records ever made. I really love that song. Adrian is in the studio. He's raring to go. I can tell. Hello.
I am. Yeah. I'm eager.
He's eager. But we've been discussing palmistry, and it's been a really fascinating couple of hours with my special guest, Lynn Seal, who's still here. And I just want to say thank you so much.
Well, thank you for inviting me on the show. I've really enjoyed it.
I'm glad. It's been wonderful having you, and I'm going to play another song. And then we're going to leave it up to Adrian. So don't go anywhere. Stay where you are. And thank you so much to Lynn, my guest, and to you, listeners. See you next week.
Did I ever let you slip away? Never knowing.